prayers while they're going here to get us prepared for this little bit of teaching. God, I do. I thank you for all these kids. I pray you'd help them, Lord, today as they get ready to sing some songs to you, really, to glorify you, Lord. I pray you'd really impress upon them your love for all those little voices. God, I hear them going down the hallway, and I thank you for them. I thank you for what you're doing here on this little Sunday morning church, God. And those kids are a huge part of that. So we ask you to look out for them and just bless them today. And pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're going to continue on with our blueprint series. And today it's home security, the do's and don'ts of dating. Oh my, we're actually going to talk about that in church. Yes, we are. And just practically, God has, you know, what's the beauty of God's word is that he has something to say about all walks of life. Every place that you might be or are about to enter into, God has something to say about it. And today's part 10 of this series. We've really been cranking along. And today we're going to kind of transition into the teenage years. Now, what we're going to look at is we're going to look at dating kind of through the eyes of a parent. But just like last week we talked about some things, and I'm just going to go on a little review here, a couple principles on raising kids last week. So we transitioned. We went from marriage and communication, man's role, women's role, and we even had some examples, and then we stepped into the little baby stage, and last week we kind of talked about discipline, and we talked about these things, loving your children with just two simple principles, loving your children with grace and acceptance. And one of the verses I shared with you was Isaiah 54:10. It says, "For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my love and kindness will not be removed from you. And my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you." See, I just love it. God says, "But my love and kindness will not be removed from you." That's a promise from God. I say, as parents, that's, our kids need to feel that same security, that our loving kindness will not be removed from them ever. And that's the environment we need to build in our homes as well. And the second principle was love your children with training and discipline. We actually talked about some practical things, and of course we shared Ephesians 6:4. "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord." And that's just a little review from last week. And one thing that I didn't say last week that I want to just add this morning, you know, in the culture we live in the world we live in now, oftentimes we don't have your traditional husband-wife for life. So we have lots of blended families, or you might have just a single parent, and we see that all over the place. Now, I know lots of people that are in that position. And I personally was raised in that type of atmosphere, in just broken homes. It's not unusual. That's the norm, maybe more so than the traditional family of one husband, one wife, making the long haul. So I just want to say, you know, these principles, they don't change in those situations. There's still God's truth. There's still basic things, whether you're a single parent trying to figure this thing all out on your own, or there's a blended family and there's a couple sets of parents, and you know how confusing that can be, especially for the child. And the thing is, when they're in your home, when they're you're parenting them, then these principles, you need to hold the line. We still have to hold the line. What happens, I think, is there becomes this gray area, because there's two separate sets of parents, or an extra mom or extra dad. It's just kind of confusing for the child. So when they come into your house, well, they don't do that over there, or they don't do this over there. Well, the thing is, in your home, especially you dads, you still have to hold the line. So when they're in your house, a certain set of standards has to be the norm. You know what I mean? You need to be consistent with your discipline and everything else. You can't make special conditions just to win their favor. I think you got to just hold the line, and that's with blended families. You know, also with this topic of dating, like I said, we're going to look at it through the lens of parents, but I want you to know that these principles that I'm going to talk about are very much applicable to someone who's older, someone who's been divorced maybe a time or two. I mean, the same principles still apply. So as we go through this today, I don't want you to think that I'm just talking to parents who are trying to parenting teenagers. Certainly, that's my view. That's what I'm talking to. I'm talking to you parents to help you with your kids as they walk into this teenager stage of dating and whatnot. But I think it's what I've seen, it's all inclusive to everyone. So I would say pay attention, take what you can, and apply it to your own lives as well. So with that, three do's and don'ts for dating. Like I said, last week it kind of addressed specifically probably parents with kids from 2 to 10 years old. We talked about training and discipline for those children. And now there's a transition, and oh my goodness, things change when your children all of a sudden start being maybe as tall as you and you're looking them in the eye, or they might even get, you know, my children, many of them are smarter than me. And so you're like, oh man, how am I gonna win this argument? That he knows more about it than I do. But there is certainly a transition that we're walking in. We're going from 2 to 10, and then all of a sudden we get over that, and you're looking eye to eye, and you can't spank them, and things have changed. But the thing is, parents, I just want to challenge you. There doesn't have to be a dating triangle or a teenager triangle, like the Bermuda Triangle, you know, when you planes fly through that, they disappear. It's just like, what happened? I don't know. And raising teenagers, I see it time and time again, and I've talked to so many frustrated parents, and I've been so frustrated myself. And we get into this triangle, and it's like, I don't see anything. I don't know. I guess they're just teenagers. And we just turn it over to that. We just say, oh, they're just teenagers. You got to give them some room. Let them disappear. No. No, I'm gonna plant the flag. You know, things are gonna be a little different for our churches. Hopefully, that when we transition into the teenagers' years, that is a special time. That's a special time. That's the parenting stage that I have stepped into right now, because I have 21, 18, and a 15-year-old, and my kids are with me. Certainly there are days where I just don't get it. A lot of days things just go over my head. And as you step into that little bit older child area, things change. They're going to school. They might even have a job. And once they get their driver's license, it's like, oh my goodness, they're just gone. And if you look through from the child's eyes, so you've come through this area where you're younger, and everything you did depended on your parents, whether you have two of them or not, whether it's just a mom or just a dad or it's mom and dad. You counted on them for everything, and you looked to them for help. It's like, oh, I know mom and dad will tell me on this. They'll feed me. They'll do this. They'll do that. So everything's, you kind of dictated what to do. Kind of like being in the military. Somebody's always telling you what to do, and that there's a comfort in that to a degree. And then you get to be 11, 12 years old. I know some of us, that's a long time ago, so it's kind of tough for us to remember, me included, and a lot of it I don't want to remember because I was not a young guy under authority. I just did whatever I want, and that's a train wreck. I can tell you that. But so at 12 years old, as we know, things start to change, and this beautiful little Susie or Tommy, they start to change and realize, you know what, everything doesn't depend on mom and dad. Everything I do doesn't depend on mom and dad. In fact, there's like 900 classmates out there. They're doing all kinds of things different ways. And so this 12-year-old starts to look in the mirror and say, who am I in this world? Who am I? Who am I now? I was Bob's son. I was my parents' child. And now I'm this person. Who am I? I don't know who I am. So you have these teenage emotions and stuff going through you. And plus, physically, they're changing, and they're saying, oh, my, look at me. I'm not a kid anymore. And then you have all these peers telling each different people that do this, do that, you're this, you're that, you're this, do that. And so a teenager can just be completely confused. He says, I don't know who I am, what I am, but I want to be something. I want to do that. I want to grow old. I want to have a nice house like my dad. Only I want to have a swimming pool in the back of mine. And all these dreams and all these things, it just changes in a hurry, doesn't it? But today, we're going to talk specifically about this area of dating. Now, next week, I'm going to talk a little bit more about releasing our children. So our children go into the teenage years, and then hopefully we're preparing them, walking with them, teaching them, and putting their hand in God's hand as they walk out our front door and go out into the world and change it for Jesus. That's the process. But today, there's just an area I want to focus on. You know, some of my brothers and co-pastors and other pastors in our movement have done talks before about Swerver and dating and different things. But I don't know that there's many out there from a parental view of this. So that's kind of what I'm looking at. As me, as a dad, how do I help my girls and my boy step through this whole teenager girl-boy dating thing? Again, like I said, anybody I think can glean some truth out of this, but I just want to talk about that whole dating thing. And so, three do's and don'ts for dating. There's many more. These are just some ideas I had. Just I sought some prayer. I listened to quite a few teachings, and I sought the Lord, and this is what I came up with. And so one of the first, and this is a do, and certainly includes parents to help them do this, but build godly relationships is the first point I want to make. And of course, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians 15:33. I want to substantiate everything that we talk about today with Scripture. Because honestly, I don't think the world can back up classic dating with Scripture. And if you can, please come and talk to me about it. I'd love to talk about it. But we're going to back up most of this stuff, all of what we talk about, with Scripture. It says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You know, we've all said that. At some point, I mean, this is a common verse that many of us will use. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Now, I'm going to say that I think as parents, myself included, that we play a huge role in this area right here. We have the challenge of helping our kids choose friends. And build a healthy environment for them to grow in. So I think that we play a huge role in this. And oftentimes, this just is a gray area. We get so busy with working our jobs or the things that we're doing that our kids just run off with the neighbors or whoever's there to play with. As a matter of fact, as parents, we're thankful for these kids because they take our kids out of our hair for a while because we got a lot of stuff to do anyway. I mean, my goodness, at least they're busy and they're with somebody and they're with their friends. So let's just farm them off. Let's just let them go. And I am guilty of that. You know what? I've got to work in the lawn today. My goodness, I can't have someone bothering me. But I'm going to say that as parents, we need to play. We need actively be in this, helping our kids build healthy relationships. You know, often what I'll do and what my wife and I have done is to continue to influence our teenagers, because we do. We need to be an influence. In fact, you and I, we need to fight for time with our children. But I'd tell them, you know what? If you want to play with Bobby and Susie, then you bring them over to our house. I want to meet them. I want to know them. And that's something that Jeannie and I have always been tried try to be involved. You're with who? Well, I don't know who that is. I would like to meet them. They need to come to my house so I can meet them so I know who this is. Or at least, oftentimes with our kids, we've always been very involved with church, so say, bring them to church so I can meet them. See what I'm saying? To help build these godly relationships, I think for us to be parents, you know, parenting doesn't become smaller and smaller of a role. I think it becomes a bigger and bigger role. Why? Because, well, it's work to open up your house and feed these kids and to try to intentionally have relationships with them. But I think it's vital. I think it's critical that we know them, because our kids can be influenced by others. And we still do that. We recommend, you know, if there's going to be a party, let's have that party at our house. Bring them over to our house. I don't care if you have a party, but that party's going to happen here so that I know everybody and I know what's going on. I think that's a good plan. So building these godly relationships, and we need to help our teenagers with this. And what typically happens, and the next point A, is no favoritism. What happens, and I think this is human nature, is we're selfish. We're selfish. And especially these little teenagers that have had everything pretty much taken care of for them. So now they don't think they need to do anything. Everything's just going to continue to take care of them, including relationships. That the no favoritism thing is, in our selfishness, we all want our best friends. I want my best friend, my best friend, my best friend. And that's fine, and that's good. But the thing is, God has some things to say about favoritism, doesn't he? Let's look at these verses. 1 Timothy 5:21. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. And as well in James chapter 2, verse 1. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. You know, this whole idea of favoritism and selfishness creeps into our lives almost unnoticed sometimes. It does. It creeps, the favoritism will creep in, and then without even realizing it, someone gets hurt. And it really can come in the whole boy-girl thing. If you've noticed that or not. Well, and I'm not saying that's wrong. I mean, God has created us such a way to think that way, to want to be with others and certain ones. But what can happen is favoritism and selfishness really steps in to the boy-girl thing. Well, I like him. Oh, he's so cute. You know, there's a girl or a boy that's been told what to do all their life. When you come into my house, it's, oh, clean up your room. You did this, you did that, you did this. My son gets to high school and he goes in there. All the girls are, oh, he's so cute. He's so funny. He's like, I like it better at school here. Because nobody's telling me what to do. Matter of fact, everybody likes me and laughs at my jokes, and the girls giggle when I go, oh, I just love that. And the same with the girls. You know, you're at home, clean up, do this, do that, wash the dishes. Then you step into the school environment, and the boys are like oogling and ogling and paying attention to you. And the girls just like, oh, I, you know, my family's great, but nobody just treats me this special. So this little change goes on. You have this young teenager who's all of a sudden, who am I in this environment? I know I was a child of my parents growing up, and now all of a sudden I have all this. Who am I? Maybe I should get married to this guy. I know I'm only 13, but I am in love with him. And all these emotions are raging in a teenager where it's just a whole change, a whole different set of things start coming at them, and they don't know how to process it yet. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, they don't know how to, at those ages, they really don't know how to process all that, trying to learn it. And yes, parent, you play a huge role in that, you and I. And we can't shrink back, because I think that's our tendency, and that's what the world would say. Oh, let them, you know, let them grow up and explore and to understand and experiment. Oh, no, what are you, crazy? I want to be in the middle of it. I want to help them. I want to hold their hand. I want my girls to come and tell me, you know what? I have a crush on this guy. Oh, honey, that's good. That's good. Of course you do. Let me talk to you about that. Son, I know the things that you're going through to some degree. Talk to me about it. Let me walk you through that. And in a lot of, every child is different. You know, my son's different than your son. My daughters are different than your daughters. But they're all kind of walking through the same thing. They're walking into the world. Hopefully, their spirituality is kind of in place. So they have God to turn to. And you. So no favoritism. I want to just take a moment and talk about classic dating. Okay, let's just get right into it. Classic dating, or what Bill Young likes to call the swerver. Now, again, I want you to keep an open mind here. I want you to bear with me. If you're new to this church today, you're probably going, wow, this stuff's something else. When I first went to Great Commission churches back in Loveland, Colorado, I went and I met all these people that really loved on me. I got saved. I came to know the Lord. I started growing up in my faith and running with the leaders. And I just loved being with God's people. And I started to see things that were way different than what I had been doing in the world. For instance, one of the first things was there's a bunch of them that were homeschooling. I'm like, what is that? My kids go to public school, and that's just the way it is. I hand them off into public school. Well, I started to think, you know, you guys are crazy. What do you mean you homeschool? Are you kidding me? And then I started to learn and see their kids and see their character, and I started to experience the fruit from that decision. And my wife and I prayed and sought the Lord, and we chose to homeschool our kids for a time. And for us, that's my conviction. For me, I feel homeschooling is a better choice than public school right now, okay? I just said it, and I do. I think for a number of years, your kids can either be missionaries or a mission field. What I mean by that, the formative years of elementary school right now, it kind of frightens me what the world has to offer right now. And my personal conviction is homeschooling's a better choice because I can help build their character, I can be hands-on, and I can help them walk through those years until I am sure and convinced, and the Lord has shown me that they're mature enough to go back to public school. And that's what I have done with my kids. My daughter Kelsey, in ninth grade, she returned back to public school, and God used her life. And Colin, he went back and started part-time in eighth grade and then full-time in ninth grade. And Brenna started full-time in eighth grade. And that's what we chose to do. That's what worked for our family. That's what God led us to do. So for us, when I stepped into those churches first and these people were homeschooling, it's just so different than the world that I had grown up in and what I thought was going on that I didn't understand it. But as I prayed and I sought the Lord and I saw what they were doing, I saw fruit. Same with this model of dating. Okay, when I first heard about it, what do you mean you don't date? You're crazy. How could you ever get to know someone if you didn't date them? How could you ever have a healthy marriage if you didn't walk through that? So when I first saw it, I thought, man, this is the craziest church I ever heard of. But then I started going to big conferences, and I started observing young people that were dating with a purpose, young marriages that were phenomenal. I mean, the marriages that I have personally witnessed and observed in this movement of churches are just incredible. And you just don't see it in the world. You just don't. You don't. At least I haven't. You know, I'm not necessarily a young man. I lived in a lot of different places, and I observed a lot of people all my life. I've been an observer and watching things and watching people, and I want my family to grow up in a healthy atmosphere like what I'm seeing. So what Bill Young calls a swerver, basically classic dating, he uses an analogy of a grocery cart. So a grocery cart, you know, you get the good one, new ones. It's rare that there's new ones, unless there's a brand new store. But eventually, we've all had one of those grocery carts that has the busted wheel. And you're trying to push it along, and it's just not going the direction that you want it to. Well, what Bill liked to use for analogy, and I like this analogy, is that's what classic dating can do. You see, in the world, God created Adam and Eve, didn't he? He gave Eve to Adam. So all along, as part of God's plan, was man and woman to be together. So we get on this conveyor belt, and you just can't go another way. That's the way God created us. It is not wrong for you and I to desire the opposite sex. God created that. And oh, boy, did he do a good job. You know, it's like the movie Up, you know, squirrel. For guys, it's girl, girl. And that's the way we, a girl. And you go down this conveyor belt, and you can't seem to get back off it. You can't seem to go a different direction. You know, it's been a long time ago, but I did. I remember my parents had a broken family, so I didn't really have any influences. So I was actually given the freedom to do whatever I wanted. So the dating style that I personally grew up with, do whatever you want. And I was starved for love, coming from a broken family, which much of our world is coming from a broken family. I was starved for love. You know what I thought love was? Sex. I thought that was love because I didn't really know what it was. So I thought sex was love. So every girl that I tried to date, that's where I was headed, going down that conveyor belt. And I know a lot of men and boys, and most of us are wired that way. It's just true. And it's not wrong. It's the way God created us to be attracted. If you're a man, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't care how old you are. I don't. And you get on this conveyor belt, and so... What classic dating does, it creates an incubator, it creates a place for that to go awry. Because we get on the conveyor belt, and that's where we go. And then you get in this classic dating environment. Well, let's be alone in the car and go up on the mountain, and let's watch a movie in my bedroom alone over here. I'm on the conveyor belt. Wait a minute. So... classic dating. Let's just think through that a little bit, you know? So my conviction in it, what we're going to talk about today, is de-wopping as well. The classic dating, years and years and years, people have done it. Honestly, I don't see Scripture backing it up. And you talk about selfishness and favoritism. Well, you get two young people together, and they're absolutely crazy about each other, especially because they're a teenager, and they've never experienced this before, and it's just, I'm telling you, squirrel. they can't, you guys have seen it. I've been there. You've seen it. There is such selfishness. It's what I can get right now, right there. And it's just me and her, 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 me and her. And that, how can God use a young man's life or a young woman's life if they're all in the corner just Googling at each other all the time? I want to text him. I want to text him 24 hours a day. Text, 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 text. That's a whole other area we won't touch on today. But so how can God use that young life to reach the world if all they can think about is each other? And that's what happens. I've been there. Most of you have been there. When you're younger, that's what happens. Is that favoritism or what? You know, you got your eyes totally on that one. And you know what? A lot of time we're pretenders. When we're dating, we're pretending. Get all cleaned up nice, put on something that smells nice. That's just a pretender. So you're getting this act that you're going to. And then when you're alone, you're going down the conveyor belt. Plus, there's isolation, there's separation, there's temptation. All of those things come into the classic model. They're just in your face. And the world just encourages it. When my kids were around, their aunts and uncles and stuff, you know, do you have a sweetheart yet? Do you have a honey yet? Do you have someone special yet? My kids are like, well, we don't date. And my family are like, what kind of crazies are you? You know what? We believe there's a better way. We believe there's a better way. And I do. I believe there's a better way, a healthier way that doesn't have to have all this destruction and mess up and hurt and mistake and separation with it. So DWAPing, as Josh Whitney would call it, is dating with a purpose. DWAPing. And what that is when you get to a certain place that you're sure you're ready to date, then you step into that. You step into DWAPing. Before that, most all the time, and I encourage this with my family, is you're in groups. And in this church, in our youth group, and in youth groups in the Rock, we and in the churches, our churches, we try to encourage this healthy environment. Ever since my kids were little, I've been talking about this. So when our kids step into youth group, there's safety. There's not this boy-girl craziness going on. Hopefully when someone walks into a thriving Saturday night, when there's 400 people there, people and the gals feel safe. You know why? Because they have brothers there that love them genuinely, that care for them, for their well-being, not just for their body. They want to protect each other, and that's what we're trying to cultivate in our youth groups and in our churches, in this Friday night church. You know, that's ultimately what we would love to see. We become a group of people that's just a healthy environment for people to come. And then when you get to a certain age, the DWAPing starts, where all their lives they've grown up and they know each other and they're good friends and they've been in groups and they've been to parties. They grew up together. My kids have grown up with a group of people that are really tight. They're really tight. They're really good friends, boys, girls. They're really good friends, and there's not the goofy sexual thing going on. They're close. They're genuine. My kids have a circle of friends around each one of them. They're safe and it's healthy and it doesn't have that crazy isolation separate type thing going on. And then you get to a place where God does bring someone who catches your eye. God does it, remember? God brings someone. God does it. And you say, you know what? I think she's going to be the one. Or I think he's going to be the one. You seek Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek counsel, 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 seek the Lord. Wait, 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 wait. Meat grinder time. Wait, 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 wait. And then wait, 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 wait. Oh, I heard that. Wait, wait. That's what I always tell guys. Wait. Why don't you just wait? What's the hurry? Why don't you just wait? How about waiting? Let's wait. What do you mean? This is the one. And then God, just when it happens, I remember Caleb coming to me. I said, wait. Caleb coming, I think I'm in love with your daughter. Wait. That's my daughter, pal. Whoa. And there was quite a few before him that I said, wait. No, wait. Wait. But when God was in it, he said, yeah, this makes sense. You ought to step into that. You ought to date her with the purpose of marrying her one day and being her husband and caring for her for the rest of her life. And it's just, I don't know. I want that for all my children. I'm convinced of that. I want that for all my children. It's healthy. I've seen marriages that have gone through that process. And the world just doesn't have that to offer. They don't even match up at all. They don't. The marriages that I've seen through that healthy walk, a virgin groom and bride walking down, that was God's design from the start. He has a plan. He has a blueprint. It's God's design. I have lots of thoughts on this, and we'll trust God that I won't go on too many rabbit trails. I've already kind of gone off a little bit. Well, let's step a little further. So, building godly relationships, encourage family. That's kind of what I just touched upon, was encourage family of believers. So my sons and daughters are with other people's sons and daughters, Christian sons and daughters that love the Lord and encourage family. They grow up together years and years and years and into adulthood. So you have this family of believers together. I like these verses. 1 Timothy 5, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exalt him as if he were your father. Exhort him as if he were your father. I just read that again. I like that one. Do not rebuke an older man harshly. Okay, guys, you hearing that? Because I'm older than most of you. But exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. With absolute purity. Treat other gals, teenagers, treat other gals as sisters and other men as brothers, as your family. As your family that's safe, where you don't feel threatened. Where there's not this whole big, huge boy-girl thing going on. No, he's my brother, he's my sister. Yeah, I do love him. In fact, I know him well. We've done all these different things together. I have overnighters with the youth group. I've known him for years and years. There are new people that walk into that. You're welcome to come into this, but people aren't going to flirt with you. It's not going to be like the world. I think that's the craziest thing when someone who doesn't understand what God's doing in our churches steps into it and it's like, how come everybody else flirts with me? They don't at that church over there. Well, no, we're trusting God. Our eyes are on Christ. You know, our Friday night, that's not a meat market and it never will be. That's not why we have Friday night or any of our churches for that matter. We want to see godly relationships grown up that honor God and step into godly marriages. And it's happening all over the place. I watched it for the last 10 years. A lot of these young teenagers that I worked with, they're now married and having kids, and it's just, they're strong marriages. And it's just a joy to see it happen. So encourage family. I like this verse in Ephesians 5, 1 through 3. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. These are improper for God's holy people. God doesn't want us having sex when we're teenagers. That's more than a hint of sexual immorality. Well, where's the line? Where does it become sexual immorality? Well, if you're groping each other, I think you've stepped over the line. You know, not even a hint God asked for. He saved us. He wants better for us. His holy people, he says, I have a design for this home. I created it. I have a design. I have one man, one woman. I have the perfect design. Don't mess with it. Follow what I've laid out for you. But in the world, we've just gone a whole other direction. Just ignore him. God, you do your thing. I know you've created it, and you're like the sovereign master of the universe, but I want to date this girl because I need to get to know her. I need to date this guy. I'm not so sure. Trust God and wait. There it is again, wait. Practice self-control is our point A there. Trust God and wait and practice self-control. And you can, and I can have self-control. It's biblical. Let's look at this in Proverbs. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. The city walls in the day, they were the defense of a city. Period. If you had walls, you were covered. If your walls are broken down, the enemy could come right in. That's what they're talking about here. It's like a man with no self-control is like a city that has no walls, and sin can walk right in, right, and participate in that. And to me, when I read this verse, it encourages me because it says, I can, to me, it's like you can have self-control. It's right there. You can have self-control. This verse in 2 Peter, these verses in chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. And to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. These verses just have, I just love these verses because I want my children to be effective and productive in the kingdom of God. And if I'm not right in there with them, you know, and I don't desire, you know, I don't get a kick out of telling them no all the time, but I will tell them no, and I will help them walk through some things because I want them to be effective and productive for the kingdom of God. You know why? Because that's what we were created for. And when they are in that, playing in that role, living in that role, they're living life. And it's a full life. And when they're ineffective and unproductive, they're just bored and selfish. I want this, I want that. It's all about me, me, especially teenagers. You know, I personally can be very selfish, but I see it in my teenagers. It's all about me, 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 me. And the world feeds into that. You're the one. Trust God and wait. And point B, love God, not the world. We ought to look different. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Ouch. The love of the Father is not in him? Do you love the world? Do I? Do my teenagers? I'm certainly tempted by it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. We live in a lost world that, for the most part, does not know God. And of course, we will look different. We will. You know, a lot of my siblings and my family over the years, when we first started homeschooling, they thought, my, that guy's off his rocker, that Steve. And then when they heard my children were not necessarily involved in dating, in the classic dating, they thought, wow, those guys are really walking to a different beat. You know what? I hope that will continue. You will look different. I will look different. We must. The world needs to see godly examples of purity, of God-honoring young men and women. The world's just starved for this. You go to any college campus or any place where young people are hanging out, and it's just void of that, of people that love the Lord that are trying to honor God. So yes, our Little Rock churches will look different. And we will work hard at looking different. And it won't be easy. And people will criticize us. They do. People do. It's not that we don't. People say, you know, I can't say that dating is a sin. I can't say that. It's not. It doesn't say that in the Bible. So don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's a better way. I'm saying the classic model is a swerver. It's broken. And it's not the best method. That's my conviction. And I just ask you to open your mind to this model, which is backed up with Scripture. And love the world, or love God, and not the world. The world, everyone. You know, for our children, they're getting a voice from their peers, from media, from Hollywood, from everyone. Everyone wants to sell them something. Everything from hair color to pornography. And it's just pumped at you. That's the ages. I think it's between like, it might even be 12 to 20. That's the target area for media, for different things, for pornography. You just hit it, get them while they're kids. Get them. Tempt them. They're the ones. They're the target. Get the young ones. Get them while they're young. It's frightening. Don't miss God's best. And that's what we can do. You know, God calls us to be set apart for special use, you and I. You know, justification leads to sanctification. Justification, what I like to say is just as if I never sinned. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. Justification leads to sanctification. Sanctification is to be set apart for the Lord. You and I, once we come to know the Lord, once we're genuine Christians and we've asked God into our life, we are set apart. God has set us apart. He is sanctifying us. And there's a process going in each one of our lives, and that's real and that's happening. That we are changing. God is changing us. He promised us that. It tells us in Ephesians, the Holy Spirit came inside us and it's sealed inside us. And God is changing us. Don't miss God's best. Be holy. Let's look at these verses. Husbands, love your wives. This is often used in the marriage context. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. We're going to talk about Christ, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy. Christ gave himself for us to make us holy. That's the only way we could become holy. He's perfect. We are not. So he died for us, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. That's us, the bride of Christ. We are his bride, and he is collecting us, and he is wooing us, and he's drawing us into himself, and he's setting us apart, holy and blameless, the perfect bride for Christ. That's you and I. That's us. In all of our shortcomings, God swooped in and saved us. You are my bride. You are the one I want, God says to you. You are just the way I created you. I'm going to set you apart for special use. I have a plan for your life. We got to believe that. We need to understand that. God has a plan for us. In 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, "For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life." God wants that for you. God wants that for me. He wants us to live a holy life. The next point I want to make is point B, is guard your heart. Let's look at this first verse in Psalm. Wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. Dad, for your daughters, you're their man. For my daughters, and I tell my daughters this, I'm your man. I'm your man. I'm your boyfriend. I'm your man friend. I'm the man in your life. And I date my daughters. Because how could I possibly expect that all of a sudden, when they get to a certain age, that they understand how to have a relationship with a man if I don't help them with that? So I take them out. Take them out to dinner. I talk to them. We laugh and giggle. I open the door for them when I can think of it, when I can beat them to it. I treat them like a woman. I'm your man. You want to learn how to date? You date dad. Date dad. You know, might not have been the guy you chose, but God chose me for you. And I'm going to be the guy that teaches you what a man is like. So dads, that's our role. We cannot hand that off. And make time in our schedules to date our daughters. Yeah, you can be alone. That's fine. With your daughter. And I would suggest you do it as much as you can. Make time to do that. Don't miss out on it. And let your sons know, all those girls out there, they already have a man. And it's their dad. All those girls out there, son, you know, someday God's going to bring you just the right girl. But all those girls out there right now, they have a man, and that's their dad. You can be with them. You can be good friends with them. In fact, I encourage you to. It's your sister. You take care of her. You look at her as if she is your sister. You love her. You protect her. If any guy comes in and tries to hit on her, you step in. Whether she's your blood sister or just your spiritual sister, you protect that girl. And that's what I'm teaching my son. That's what you need to do, son. That's your sister. You watch her back. You take care of her. Don't you be flirting with her. that just isn't fit. And certainly, you know what? My kids aren't perfect. I'm not perfect. We make mistakes. But for the most part, there's some standards. There's some sideboards that we've tried to put in place to protect our sons and daughters. You know, if you seek, I like this this little saying, if you seek a spouse, you will find a spouse. If you seek a spouse, you will find a spouse. But if you seek God, you will find the right spouse. Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 7. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and by the does of the field. Do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Again, we need to protect our sons and daughters because they will be attracted to men. Men and women will be attracted to each other time and time and time and time again. We need to help them not to let love awaken before it's time. Because then it's squirrel. And what happens, another part of this, is when that love is awakened, there's not much parent, I'm sorry to tell you this, you can do. Because their minds just whoop, don't see anything else. They don't listen to reason, and they just don't get what you're talking about. So be alert. Be there in the preliminary stages. If you start hearing someone's name come up and up and come, and I hope for goodness sakes you're checking your phone bills of your children, just see who they're talking to. 5,000 texts. Yeah, maybe you guys are more than friends. That was just today. And you laugh, man. It happens. It happens. And we cannot be so naive. We need to be on guard. We need to help them. It's not that we're the Gestapo. It's because we love them. We want better for them. So what happens when you do get this crush, and they will, and you'll see it, and you'll try to help them with it, and really attracted to him or her, and rather than feed into that, help them think through it. Do they know Jesus yet? Maybe this is an opportunity for you to share the gospel with them. You and me, possibly. I'll help you with that. Because at this stage, you know what, 13, you're probably not going to get married. I just want you to know, I know that they seem really special, but let me help you walk through this. It's just not time for that yet. At 18, you might not be ready. Let's talk before you go down that elevator or that conveyor belt. Let's talk. Let me help you with that. As parents, we need to have, because once that happens, honestly, they're like deer in a headlight. Are you in there? Hello, son. I've lost your heart. I've lost your heart. It's how can I help you now? You don't hear anything I'm saying. Here's the deal. You're not ready. She's not ready. We can call her dad and he'll tell you that right now. Don't do that. Well, I'm going to do that. You bet I am. In fact, I'm going to sit and talk with her dad. Because I want the best for you. I know he wants the best for her. And just step in there and have a voice. Help them. But you got to be careful, I think. I've been blindsided before. We've got to be careful to pay attention. To help. That our relationship with the kids is so close that stuff doesn't sneak under the radar. I've always told my kids, you know, if you want things to go well for you in these high school years, you will tell me everything. They're like, what? You know, as teenagers, we have secrets. Not in our house. They may, we may not. You tell me everything. You tell me everything so I can help you with it. And we keep everything on the table, open and honest before God. We look at Scripture. We have God lead us through this. and it'll go well with you. And I've experienced it. I'm standing here telling you, I've seen it. Certainly, things have slipped by my radar, which they're probably not going to tell me. and that happens. But for the most part, especially difficult things, my children come to me, we talk about it, we try to work through it, and no secrets. And the secrets that have gone behind my back have ended up being messy. And we had to go back and address it. I had to help them walk through it. Teachable moment. You lied to me. You snuck behind my back. Well, we can work through that. I love you. I forgive you. Let's just work through that. That's happened. Okay. I've done it many times in my life. But let me say, that doesn't have to be like that. If you have a crush on someone, if you want to be alone with someone, talk to me about it. Let's talk through it. What will God have to say about that? You know, at 16, you're not ready to be married. Run hard for God right now. At 16, you ought to know how to share the gospel and you ought to be sharing it. Let me help you with that. Because I, boys and girls are different. Every child is different. But as a parent, you were created to be the parent for that child at that time. Step in and be the parent and be the voice and speak to them. I'm trying to. You know, like I said, I'm not perfect. I mess up, but I'm really trying to apply some of these truths. Psalm 37:4, one of my favorite verses of all time. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Help your children learn to know Jesus by your example. The best thing you can do for your teenagers is to help them learn to be delighted in the Lord. It's the bottom line. The thing that's going to help them all their life is their relationship with God. And the best time for that is when they're younger. And I can't be my children's personal Holy Spirit. I can't live their walk with the Lord. But I can sure be an influence. And you can sure be an influence. You know, if you're not sharing the gospel, what makes you think that they're sharing the gospel? Why would they? Where's the example? That's where the rub comes for parents. God's growing us up. God's growing us up. He's challenging us every step of the way. God is still challenging me as a dad to know him more, to depend on him more, to be desperate for him more for my children. Because I want the best for them. I want them to run hard for Jesus all the days of their life. Why? Because that's the full life. I don't want my kids to miss out on it. I know you don't want your kids to miss out on it. You know, I honestly believe this is a better way, and I've seen it lived out. And we're blessed with, like I said earlier, with many amazing marriages. I'm so proud of our youth group, just to come together with them, boys and girls that genuinely care about each other. And I've seen it for years and years. Now, the guys that I helped in youth group 10 years ago, now they're getting married and having babies, and I'm seeing the fruit of that. You know? I've really seen it. They've come through. I remember when Zach Soper first showed up on the scene. I'm convinced he was just looking for a girlfriend. But God got a hold of his heart, and when he came to our youth group, and said, we do things a little bit different here. And God has pruned and used our lives and used his life and our life. And I just see it happening time and time again. And the Sandy Youth Group is just a fantastic example of that. You know, I think they have over 50 people just striving to build this type of environment. And our little youth group, there's like 20 of us, parents and teenagers, trying to build this. And it's healthy and it's beautiful. And it's not what the world would do. It looks different. And I pray it always will. So I'm going to just close this with a prayer on that. Lord, we do thank you that you're at work in our midst, in our churches, Lord. And Father God, we ask you to help us to live a life that's just honorable to you, God. We want to be godly men and women. We need help every step of the way. We need you to help us, Lord, to raise our children. Even this whole dating scene, God, be so confusing. So many people have done it a certain way for years and years and years, God. We want to do it your way. Bottom line, God, whatever that looks like, we ask you to teach us and lead us and direct us. And we just pray that in your name. Amen. All right, so next week, we'll talk about structural reinforcements, sending your kids in the world. Again, we'll kind of talk about these teenage years and transitioning as children grow up and become men and women and go out into society and what role we play in that. So let's sing a couple more songs.